superior news and issues from a superior point of view.
People try to put us to down.
Talking about my generation.
If you're over 55 or concerned about a loved one who is, we're talking about the right generations.
Those everyday tasks that are so important to people to keep them independent and at home become very, very challenging, and they need some help.
We'll hear from local experts on concerns and services for seniors. Plus, it's an anniversary and the symphony is celebrating.
There can be these very special moments where the audience and the musicians on stage, something clicks.
Maestro Dirk Meyer marks 10 years. Welcome to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. We'll hear more of the Duluth Superior Symphony Orchestra and the anniversaries they're celebrating, totaling more than 70 years for two people. It's a reminder that we're all getting older. You can't stop aging, but you don't have to give yourself up to worry either. Despite confusion over things like Social Security, whether you should take it early at 62 or wait until full retirement age, health care and housing, none of us has to face aging issues alone. Dale Johnson of Senior Connections in Superior and Mary Bovey of Duluth's Age Well Arrowhead are here to give us some guidance. Welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio, Dale and Mary.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
So to start off, what's actually elderly? Because, you know, there's different mileposts along the way. What kicks in when? We all either have gotten already or we will get those mailings from AARP that say it's time for you to sign up. And I think they start at 50. We'll begin with Mary. What's your definitions?
That's a great question, Robin. You know, generally, we serve folks 65 plus. Those are folks that are generally eligible for retirement. They are looking for some extra services to help them stay independent, stay healthy, and stay at home. But, you know, people actually are, some of them are incredibly independent up until the age of 95. So I guess a number isn't anything that we really focus on much in the work that we do. It's just the needs of individuals. You know, me, myself, I'm getting very close to that age, and I consider myself young and active and still working. So, I think it's just hard to actually put a definite number on anything. I will say sometimes we are awarded grants that are federal or state grants, and the state and the feds will definitely identify an age of when people are eligible to receive benefits through those grants. And it generally is about the age of 65.
Mm-hmm. And I want to get into some of the specific services of your agency, Age Well Arrowhead. But Dale, I did notice already looking at your website that you have some services for which you're eligible at age 55 at Senior Connections.
That is correct there, Robin. That's for our transportation services, which are funded through the DOT, the Department of Transportation of Wisconsin. And they designate that any of those aged 55 or older or disabled can take advantage of our transportation services throughout the Twin Ports.
Transportation services is one of the things you do. What are some of the others?
We also provide, as a designated aging unit for Douglas County, meals service, home-delivered meal service, and congregate meal service to those 60 and older, as we are funded by the Older Americans Act, and that designates that if you're 60 or older, you can take advantage of these programs regardless of your income. We also provide education for those folks needing some classes or how to recover from home after surgery. We can help also have an elder benefits specialist here that provides services to those 60 or older with insurance, signups, Medicare, Medicaid, different kinds of prescription plans out there to see what's available. And then we also have a gal here that does education and classes for those that are 60 and older. Most are free of charge. They can learn how to live with either chronic conditions that they may have or that they are, like I said, coming home from surgery, needing to recover at home, what's the process that, of what that looks like. And so we stay pretty busy.
I hear a lot of 60 or older. Mary, tell us about some of the services that your agency provides. And I guess we got to stay on the subject of when exactly you're eligible.
Sure, absolutely. AgeWell Arrowhead provides services in Duluth and Superior and in multiple communities all around the area. Generally, the service that people come to us most frequently is through our grocery shopping and delivery program. That is where we shop out of multiple Super One locations. We call our clients to take their telephone orders over the phone because many of the people that we provide the service to don't have access to a computer or internet. And then we shop for them and deliver their groceries to them. To be eligible to receive groceries through our program, generally you can be any age. It tends to be folks who are homebound and isolated. We provide grocery shopping for people in their 40s who just can't get out. I would say the bulk of the people we provide that service to tend to be in their 60s and over. We also have a transportation program. Anyone who is 60 and older and able to walk on their own is eligible. We do lawn mowing. We do snow removal. We have in-home respite companionship services, and homemaker services. To see if someone is eligible to receive those, all they have to do is give us a call. But generally, if you're 50 and over, you will be able to have access to our services.
Normally, we ask at the end of the program for how can people contact you, but I got to believe that there's a bunch of people who you just hit a whole bunch of concerns that they have right now, so we're going to say this number a few times. Mary, your contact information for AgeWell Arrowhead?
218-623-7800.
One more time.
218-623-7800.
Okay. And is there a web address?
AgeWellArrowhead.org.
And Dale?
Our phone number is 715-394-3611. And our website is seniorconnectionswi.org. 715-394-3611.
All right, and we will repeat those later in the show. Some of these things may seem obvious, but they may not be things we worry about until the time comes. So what are the three top aging concerns?
What we see most often is people's concern about having to leave their home, losing their independence, and not being able to access health care because they can't drive. And primarily it's, I can't bend over to vacuum or mop my floors. I can't do my dishes anymore. My laundry room is in the basement and I'm afraid I'll fall if I go down there to do laundry. So those everyday tasks that are so important to people to keep them independent and at home become very, very challenging. And they need some help. And that's where organizations like ours and Senior Connections come in. We provide those additional resources and supports so people don't have to move. And sometimes when we meet with them, and it may be through a grown child, a son or a daughter, they're concerned that we're coming there to meet with them, to take them out of their home. But it's actually the opposite. Everything we do at our organization is to allow people to age in place exactly where they are. And it may be a single family home, it may be an apartment, or it may be even a senior living facility. We provide multiple services to people who live in assisted living. You know, as many supports and resources as people can have really helps them to achieve their goal of aging in place.
Mm-hmm. Dale, anything to add to that? I'm sure you do a lot of those.
That is correct, Robin. And Mary, you hit it right on the head there, aging in place. More and more folks, including us, when we get to that age, if we make it that long, we're going to want to stay where we're most comfortable and where we can be ourselves. That's where we can heal better. We can actually thrive where we are best suited. So to stay at home, if that's the best place for them to be, that is our job as well as Senior Connections, to do whatever we can to keep them in their home. You'll provide the meal service. They don't have to cook. They don't have to go out and get groceries. You guys provide that service very well. We try to piggyback on all that so people can stay home and thrive.
We are speaking with Dale Johnson of Senior Connections in Superior and Mary Bovey of the Loose Agewell Arrowhead. We're talking about a whole range of senior issues, and I've been trying not to make this conversation first person, but okay, I'm 66, so I've hit a lot of those milestones. You know, the first one I got was at a now-defunct department store where I was in line buying candy, of all things, and found out that at age 55, I got a senior discount, so I kept that receipt.
Nice.
But I guess it leads into, you know, some areas of caution, because every now and then I see things on the web, the notorious internet, right, that says all this great stuff you can get when you're seniors, and not all of them are true. Any concerns about that? We'll start with you, Dale.
Well, I guess, like with anything else, you have to be cautious of what you're hearing these days, because sometimes things can say one thing and mean another, and you have to either dive into it or reach out to those that know about it to help navigate through some of those questions. And that's where we have some services here for that. So there's things like Medicare fraud out there, or there are things that get seniors trapped into giving money. There's all kinds of those things out there. So we really have to be very careful and diligent about providing the right direction for folks to go, because if not, you're going to lose money. You could lose, oh, gosh knows, it could be a really bad situation for somebody. So we try to be careful when somebody comes to us with a claim, or if they have an idea or hear something, we need to dive into that and really see what's factual and what's not.
And I'm glad you went into some of the more serious issues, because that's a lot more important than whether or not I get a 10-cent discount on a candy bar. But speaking of money, which is the concern, I'm sure, following everything you're saying about health care and living situations, Social Security. So you see this stuff, going back again to stuff you find online, saying it's better to take Social Security at 62 instead of waiting until full retirement. Or conversely, you'll see the same arguments saying, no, wait until full retirement, which, by the way, used to be 65 and has been creeping up, you know, depending on your cohort, I guess. So in any case, it says, wait until your full retirement because you're leaving money on the table. I actually did look at a comparison of these, and I saw that if you take it early, you start getting money early that you wouldn't otherwise get. But if you wait, you get nothing for a few years, but you get more, and then it takes a while to catch up. And I found that that age where it breaks even is 82. Does that sound right to each of you?
Yeah, that does make sense.
So I guess, and maybe I'm giving the advice here, but if you think you're going to live the 82, great. If you don't think you're going to live the 82, and my parents lived 67 and 77, maybe it's better to take it earlier. I'm not giving advice, but, you know, I'm just pointing out that kind of actuarial table.
I'm just, Robin, that's excellent. I really appreciate that. It also highlights how challenging it is to navigate aging. There are just, you know, all of these factors that folks have to take into account that can become overwhelming and maybe even a barrier to making a move. So I always like to steer people to the resources that exist in our community to help them. And number one for me is the Senior Linkage Line. You know, they can steer people into different areas of where to get additional information. And then Senior Connections for people living in Wisconsin. So my point there is it's very challenging, but there are a few key resources that our states have in place to help us kind of support people and guide them when they have to make those decisions.
Mm-hmm. Do you have some contact information for that resource?
Senior Linkage Line, I actually have a magnet on my desk because we do refer a lot of folks there. And that number is 1-800-333-2433.
Let's repeat that one more time.
1-800-333-2433.
And we will repeat the numbers for each of your agencies. We're speaking with Dale Johnson of Senior Connections in Superior and Mary Bovey of the Loose Agewell Arrowhead. We're talking about a whole range of senior issues. I'm going to give one benefit that that really is, well, I'm not saying the rest are not true. You really do get some senior discounts, as I did with my candy bar. But on the Minnesota side, anyway, seniors age 62 and older can take classes at any state college Roger University, including the University of Minnesota Duluth, for $10 a credit, and you can actually use that to get a degree, and my wife did exactly that. I don't think Wisconsin has a similar program, Dale. Don't want to put you on the spot.
Not that I'm aware of, Robin. I have not heard anything like that, but I know Minnesota does, and that's wonderful.
Well, we can always lobby for our fine lawmakers in Wisconsin to follow suit.
That is right.
tell us once more some of the things that you offer that we haven't discussed, Dale.
Well, just to refresh, as a designated aging unit of Douglas County, we are chartered with providing services to those 60 or older for meals, for caregivers, and for elder benefits services such as insurance. And if you're 55 or older or disabled, we provide transportation services to and from your doctor appointments, shopping, social events, all of those kind of things that go on as well.
Mary, anything you want to add of what your agency does?
Yes. In addition to those necessities, like taking care of activities in the home, we have a consultant who will also work with families to navigate some of the complications of caring for an elderly patient. We have multiple clients whose daughter or son or even grandchildren live in California or New York or New Mexico, and they don't live in the area and they can't take care of their parents. They count on us to line up the services, making sure that they have everything they need to continue to keep them at home and keep them independent. We communicate with them about what's happening with the family. So we're like an additional family member. So that's a really, really important service that we provide. Also, we do a lot to support caregivers, whether they're living right here in town or whether they're living far away. We can provide some counseling. We can provide some education. We can direct them to resources. We also try to help families focus on planning, which is something that seniors seem to be very reluctant to do because they often are thinking only about maybe tomorrow. They aren't looking into the future. So if something should arise that could compromise their health or that of the caregiver, we want them to think about some of those things and have plans in place, because when a plan isn't in place, options are limited and the cost tends to be much higher. So it's a lot of the other services we provide focus on family mediation, working with families to get plans in place, and supporting caregivers so they can continue to provide care.
All right. And one more time, the contact information for your agency?
218-623-7800.
And web address?
AgeWellArrowhead.org.
Dale, anything else you want to add on your agency? And again, the contact information?
Sure. Contact information is, their phone number is 715-394-3611. And our website is seniorconnectionswi.org.
All right. We've been speaking with Dale Johnson of Senior Connections in Superior and Mary Bovey of AgeWell Arrowhead in Duluth. Thank you for joining us, Mary and Dale.
Thank you, Robin.
Thank you for having us, Robin.
Coming up, the symphony celebrates 10 years with Maestro Dirk Meyer. Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. What were you doing 10 years ago this fall? If you're a season ticket holder or even a casual attendee of the Duluth Superior Symphony Orchestra, you were just getting acquainted with a new conductor and music director, Dirk Meyer. He's the ninth conductor for the ensemble, which began as the Duluth Civic Orchestra in 1932, and he succeeded Mark Ann Thacker in 2013. This season celebrates Dirk's anniversary, even though for some of us, it feels like he just got here. And he joins me now. Welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio, Dirk.
Thank you so much, Robin. It's great to be here.
So in a thumbnail sketch, or maybe score, of the last decade, you've been part of more than 200 works, I see. That comes out neatly to about 20 per year.
It's actually more than that. 200 plus is the number of works that the DSSO and myself have performed on the various Masterworks performances that we've given over the last decade. But then there's, of course, also Pops concerts that we've done, family concerts, chamber music concerts, and so on and so forth. That is definitely not counted in there. So the number is probably much higher, actually.
So, well, what do you think it comes out to? Or have you even, do you even want to know?
Oh, I have no idea. Let's say the 20 per year, that sounds manageable. I can handle that. Let's go with that.
All right. So of those, what are some favorite moments?
Oh, boy. There were so many special moments from, you know, really where we either had special repertoire or a special guest artist that would perform with us, or just simply, you know, if you have been to a few symphony concerts, you know that, you know, there can be these very special moments where the audience and the musicians on stage, something clicks and everything just connects, and it's just really special. So it's kind of hard to say, but for sure, some of my personal favorites over the last decade have been concerts where we playing with our wonderful DSSO chorus, and oftentimes also choruses from the universities around. And that's simply because, you know, it adds another dimension, and I love the chorus orchestra repertoire. And some of these really stand out in my memory. I'm looking right now in my office here at a poster from when we did Mahler's Symphony No. 2 a few years back. That definitely was one of those moments that, you know, just sticks with you. Just fantastic work, a great performance. And to be on stage with that many musicians between the orchestra and the chorus is really something special. And those type of moments are definitely stay with you.
Mm-hmm. Well, with Mahler, you might need two or three stages.
Yeah, sometimes you do. So far, you know, we've shied away from the really giant ones where you really need two stages. But we're actually celebrating Mahler and his amazing music this season, just in a few weeks, when we perform his Symphony No. 3, which is not the biggest one in terms of orchestra size or chorus, but it is one of the, if not the longest symphony that's ever written.
Mm-hmm. We'll get into more of this season, but you kind of segued into the other obvious question. What are some of the biggest challenges? What were some of the biggest challenges? Mahler, I assume, is always a challenge, but maybe some simpler works.
Yeah, so if you're talking challenges in terms of repertoire, yeah, sure. You know, every composer really has their own sort of difficulty around them. There's really not much music that you can just, you know, play nonchalant, if you want, you know, without real preparation and without really digging into it. And that's the beauty of it too, right? So playing Mozart is a completely different challenge than playing Mahler, for sure. Playing Baroque music is a very different challenge than playing Beethoven or, you know, a contemporary composer. So that's what really makes this fun, and that's what keeps this job that we have, all of us there on stage, so interesting and inspiring.
As you say that, I'm reminded of a conversation we had about Erik Satie, but it was also about Ravel and his piano concerto, and David Kadouche from France, who was the soloist. And yeah, it may not be Mahler, may not have 100 horns sitting there or anything like that, but you better believe he had to get every single note exactly right.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And he
especially
did.
A piece like that. Yes, right. And he did. That, you know, that was one of those I mentioned earlier. And, you know, some of these concerts stick with you because you have such great guest artists. And I remember him being here and playing this with us. That was a wonderful experience. Wonderful. Another one that I will really never forget is when Peter Serkin came and played Beethoven Piano Concerto No. 4 with us. Just special, really special moments, you know, when and you have folks like that who are just such natural musicians and it just flows out of them. And you can sort of jump onto their boat and, you know, just go for a ride and see where they take it. It's really, really fantastic.
We're speaking with Dirk Meyer. He's the conductor and music director of the Duluth Superior Symphony Orchestra, celebrating his 10th season with the orchestra, which begins September 16th. So let's hear something from what I'm going to call your greatest hits reel. This one should need no introduction. In fact, we won't. Let's consider it a classical music quiz show. Tell us what we just heard.
That would have been the opening chorus to Karl Orff's Carmina Burana, O Fortuna, it's called. I'm sure everybody, even if they didn't know the title of it, everybody recognized this piece. They've heard it before, I'm sure. It's definitely one of the biggest classical music hits. And we performed this a few years back, and we're actually bringing it back this season as well to close our season in May of 2024.
You're from Germany and you went to school in the United States. You were a conductor with the Sarasota Orchestra in Florida before coming to Duluth. What's so special about Duluth?
You know, from the first time I visited Duluth, you know, it's just, it struck me as such a vibrant place. It's just, obviously, the nature around it is just stunning and beautiful. But also the dynamic that you feel in the Twin Ports is really special. You know, for me, you know, as you say, I'm from Germany. Like all the breweries, of course, are very special to me.
Well, I have to say that the Wisconsin side certainly makes you feel at home when it comes to beer.
Absolutely. And Superior is no different there. Yes. But it's not just, you know, it's not just that it's beer. It's this sort of entrepreneurial spirit that really is very, very strong in Duluth. And that's just fun because every time you go anywhere, something new is popping up. And it is not, oh, okay, here goes the next Walgreens or here is another whatever. But it's something very individual and very specific to Duluth. And that really makes the Twin Ports a very special place, I think.
All right. Well, let's hear another selection from your highlight reel. This one is connected to our area's culture, Finlandia by Jean Sibelius. Tell us a bit about this performance.
Yes. I wanted to involve the chorus in this one as well. And Finlandia usually is done as just the orchestra piece that it is, but there is also a text to it and a setting for chorus, and they join towards the end. And I really wanted to do this because I think for the Finnish people, of course, this is sort of the unofficial anthem of Finland. And, you know, since this is a huge part of the northern Minnesota culture as well, I felt that doing the setting with the chorus really would be something special and really would speak to a lot of folks in our community.
All right. Here is a portion of Finlandia by Jean Sibelius. That was a selection in the finale of Finlandia by Jean Sibelius, a choral version conducted by Dirk Meyer and the Duluth Superior Symphony Orchestra and Chorus. We're speaking with Dirk, who's marking his 10th anniversary with the orchestra. We don't have time to go into everything or anywhere near 20 works per year or whatever, but highlights for this upcoming season?
Yeah, actually, there's quite a few. As you may or may not know, We played a little game last year. We, in preparation of the 10th anniversary of my tenure, I put together sort of a highlight reel, a top 10 list of all sorts of different categories. And we gave that to our audience and also to our musicians. And we asked them, so what did you enjoy the most? And so every concert this season includes at least one work that was selected by either our audience or our musicians, or a composer that was selected by our audience or musicians. And in addition, last year we started a sort of an artistic initiative with the DSSO where we want to bring underrepresented voices to the elite stage being performed by the DSSO. And so this past season, we focused on quite a few compositions by Black composers. And this year, we're featuring a lot of compositions by female composers. So both groups that traditionally, not just for the DSSO, but really by American orchestras, have been very much underrepresented. And we want to change that. And so some highlights this season include some of these female composers. Our first concert, for example, is on September 16, and we play the Symphony No. 1 by Amy Beach. Wonderful piece of music. Supposedly the first symphony written by a female American composer. I'm also looking forward to a world premiere by Duluth composer Wendy Derwachter. That will be in November. And then, of course, you know, there's lots of pieces that were selected by our audience and by our musicians. As you guessed it, Carmina Burana, we talked about it earlier. That was definitely one of the highlights that was selected to be repeated again. So that's coming up. Mahler 3 in October is a highlight for me, certainly, and I know it's a highlight for the musicians as well, because they were the ones who really voted for Mahler a lot. And so is Sibelius 2, for example, that's also coming up in November, a piece that we've done several years ago, but that was equally beloved, at least judging from the votes, by our audience as well as our musicians. So I'm excited to be repeating just a few pieces, but also revisiting some of these really great composers that we've done over the years.
All right. And we can find out everything we need to know at DSSO.com. We've been joined by Dirk Meyer, celebrating his 10th year as conductor and music director of the Duluth Superior Symphony Orchestra. Thank you for joining us, Dirk.
Thank you so much. Always a pleasure, Robin.
So if you're impressed with 10 years at the symphony, how about 60 or more? Violist Ron Carey hit that incredible milestone last year. But of course, it's not just quantity, but quality, which he exhibits performance after performance as the assistant principal violist of the DSSO, as well as with the Lake Superior Chamber Orchestra, Lyric Opera of the North, and other ensembles. And he joins me now. Welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio, Ron Carey.
Well, thank you.
So you started in 1962 as a violinist before later switching to viola. How long did you think you would stay?
Oh, my gosh. I've kind of just lived year to year all my life. So I'm sure I never thought it would be 60 years plus.
Right. Well, I just asked Dirk his most memorable moments, which, well, it was hard for him. It's got to be impossible for you, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What truly stands out?
Working with all the musicians and conductors, but repertoire has always been my thing. I love the chorus. I love the soloists we've had, but my favorite thing is what pieces we play.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dirk named Carmina Burana as one of his most memorable pieces, and it's coming up again this season. What's your favorite piece of music, whether it's something the orchestra plays or not? What do you like?
Well, this season, Mahler's Third Symphony is certainly the thing I'm most looking forward to, which we have never played before in our 90 years.
Oh.
First time ever. For Carmina, it'll be our 9th performance this coming spring.
What do you listen to for fun? What genre? What kind of music?
Oh, so-called classical. Although my favorite ethnic music is klezmer and Cajun. And I'm of neither nationality or ethnic background, but I just love it.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever lobbied for the DSSO to do klezmer occasion?
Sure, but it's not your typical even pop concert. So. Actually, I haven't requested that.
Well, I'll see if I can convince anybody.
Please.
You've been described in the article on your 50th anniversary as a product of Duluth Public Schools and the University of Minnesota Duluth. What do you advise a youngster taking up the viola today?
Don't ever give it up. If you enjoy it, keep playing, even though it might not be your career. But you'll always have opportunities to play, even just for yourself.
I don't think there's anybody who could express that better. We've been speaking with violist Ron Carey. He's starting his 62nd season with the Duluth Superior Symphony Orchestra. Thank you for joining us, Ron Carey.
Thank you.
Coming up, the regional news and review. Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and we're joined by Danielle Kading, Superior-based reporter for WPR News. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Robin.
And Shalon Monroe, multimedia journalist for WDIO-TV. Hello, Shalon.
Hello, Robin.
So, Shalon, wildfires have been in the news seemingly everywhere, most notably in Maui this summer, which was described as the nation's worst since the fires of 1918 in our area. We've had two in the area of those historic fires in the last week, though thankfully nowhere near as devastating.
Yeah, nowhere near devastating. So you're right. We do have to be thankful for that. But in Barnum, there was a fire discovered on Monday afternoon in like some of the swamp marsh-like areas of the southeast part of the city, where it had only burned to around 1 acre. During that time, the following day, and along with Monday overnight, the Minnesota DNR requested water-dropping aircraft support on the fire to help to slow it down. Over the course of 3 days, the fire continued to grow. On Tuesday, the fire had burned between 40 to 70 acres. Rain did occur in the area on a Tuesday night. It did kind of help, but not that much, because the fire actually grew to burn over 70 acres and was only 10% contained after the rain. Now, over the course of 3 days, drivers and residents that went by County Roads 11 and 8, where the fire was burning, had to slow down so emergency responders could work throughout those areas. My WDIO colleague spoke to a resident, James Crum, who lived right there near the fire. He shared that he was notified on Tuesday at 5 a.m. that he had to evacuate. He said that he went to bed around 3 o'clock that morning, so he was just getting into his sleep routine before he was awakened by emergency response telling him that he had to evacuate. He also shared that his property did not get damaged, so that way he was very thankful that he was evacuated and told about the fire. But he's still kind of just hoping that they are able to get everything under control. And as of Thursday, fire rescues and services are still out there trying to fight the Barnum fire.
All right. And that's not the only one. There's another blaze that happened near Solway.
Right. In Solway, there were multiple fire departments that responded to a wildfire that burned 20 pine trees. There were no injuries, but there were some property damages. The Solway Volunteer Fire Department Chief Brandon Porter shared that they did need extra help fighting the flames and says the cause of the wildfire is currently under investigation and was not intentionally set.
Okay. Well, Danny, we've been spared fires that big in our part of Wisconsin, but we have had record heat.
Yeah, that's right, Robin. You know, if we were looking at Labor Day weekend, it was very hot. I don't think anybody would dispute that if they were outside this past weekend. And meteorologists with the National Weather Service office in Duluth recorded a record temperature tie in Duluth of 89 degrees on Monday. That tied a record set back in 1897. Just the day before, the Duluth International Airport saw a high of 97 degrees, and that broke the record set in 1960 of 89 degrees for September 3rd. And that was the same for all areas of Wisconsin. We saw heat records set or tied all across the state. La Crosse on Monday was at 98 degrees, breaking an old record of 95 in 1893. And if we look at Milwaukee and Madison on September 3rd, Milwaukee tied the record high temperature of 95 that was recorded in 1939. Madison recorded a record high temperature of 94. That broke an old record of 92 set in 1939. And so it was a pretty hot stretch for us, at least here in the Northland, maybe not in the southern part of the state where they've had heat warnings and advisories more recently due to some of the extreme heat we've had at the end of the late summer. But now things are definitely cooling off. In Duluth, we're seeing highs in the lower 60s, and it will be in the upper 60s to 70 for a high throughout the weekend across the region. So we're definitely seeing some relief after we saw some tying or record-setting temperatures for heat across the Northland.
All right. Well, moving away from the heat and fires, there's an update on the town of Sanborn's revenue issues after tribal members were removed from the local tax rolls.
Yeah, that's right. The Ashland Daily Press recently reported that Ashland County residents will likely see an increase in property taxes due to the ongoing effects of that tribal tax ruling. Last month, the town of Sanborn in Ashland County submitted a request to charge other taxing entities for money that will be used to cover refunds for tribal residents. And if you remember, the town has been facing financial challenges after a federal court ruled last summer that tribal properties can't be taxed on some reservation lands, including the Bad River Reservation, which the town of Sanborn lies entirely within. And so the results of the court decision meant removing tribal residents from the tax rolls in the town, and it also meant the town had to pay back tribal members who paid taxes while that ruling was pending. And so the Department of Revenue has notified the town that it's received preliminary approval to charge Ashland County and local schools for money that tribal residents weren't required to pay. And essentially, this all means that Ashland County and the Ashland School District and Northwood Technical College will have to pay more than $500,000. And that means county taxpayers will have to pay around $150,000 as a result of that chargeback that the county wasn't budgeting for. And that amount is even higher for the Ashland School District at around $231,000. What that means for individual taxpayers, we don't yet know, but we do know that the results of last summer's court ruling has created anger and tension among residents as tax bills doubled for the town's non-tribal taxpayers. And Sanborn recently received a loan to help cover some costs related to the refund. It's also agreed to freeze its tax levy for the next 3 to 5 years as a condition of receiving that. But the whole situation is still ongoing, and GOP lawmakers have said they're still considering legislation to address issues resulting from that ruling. And as far as the taxes for Ashland County and surrounding schools go related to this issue, that would all have to be paid by February of next year. So this is something that can't be put off. It will be included unless some other solution is met.
Right. And this story will be ongoing. We've been joined by Danielle Kading, Superior-based reporter for WPR News. Thank you, Danny.
Thanks, Robin.
And Shalon Monroe, multimedia journalist for WDIO-TV. Thank you, Shalon.
Thank you, Robin.
You can stay updated on these stories and all the regional news anytime at WPR.org and WDIO.com. And that's it for this edition of Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. We leave you with more of the music from the archives of the Duluth Superior Symphony Orchestra. Stay safe, everyone.